Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Would you like to sit down? And let's pray. Father God, as your Son Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the King of Kings entering in great humility, may we take your word to our hearts and show it forth in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the final Sunday of Lent, and we arrive in the city of Jerusalem. And we're introduced to a scene describing Jesus coming into the city. Matthew's gospel is a bit different to the others because this is the first time where Matthew mentions Jesus coming to the city of Jerusalem. It's a really dramatic moment as the story unfolds. There's a sense from the crowd of real expectation, but also an indication of things that were going to happen on Good Friday. For 1,000 years, Jerusalem had been a capital city. The temple there was huge. It was the main focal point of the Jewish world. People would flock from hundreds of miles, coming to the city of Jerusalem to worship during the different festivals. Jerusalem was so important that it was believed to be God's city, the city of Zion, where God was believed to be present. So Jerusalem was a place of forgiveness, a place of blessing. It was the center of religious worship and devotion. If you go into the first part of the Bible, into the Old Testament, and if you look at some of the Psalms, essentially the hymn book of the Israelites, the Jewish people, some of those Psalms express some of the hope and the joy of pilgrims as they make the long journey to Jerusalem. And it's estimated that when major pilgrimages and celebrations were happening, the population of Jerusalem increased from about 40,000 people, which it would have been on a normal day, to as many as 200,000 people gathered together. So as Jesus arrives for the feast of the Passover, there are literally hundreds of thousands of people. They're all gathered there. They're gathered there for a festival. But this time, as they gather, something completely different is about to happen. It's the beginning of Passover week, a feast that celebrates fervor, hope, and a longing to be set free. It commemorates the time when the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt, when the angel of God literally passed over their tents and they were sent out on that beginning of the long journey into the wilderness. And Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem for the festival as well. And as they go through the small village of Bethphage, which is probably situated on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, just to the east of Jerusalem. Jesus is getting ready, and he sends two unnamed disciples into the village, and he gives them really specific instructions, things they've got to do, but also things they've got to say as well. There's a change in Jesus' attitude, if you like. He's speaking with a real note of authority. They've got to find a donkey and a colt as well, and they've got to bring these animals to Jesus. And if anyone asks them any questions, Jesus has given them something to say. They've got to say, well, the Lord needs them. That's the only time in Matthew's gospel where Jesus calls himself Lord. And it just reveals something of the majesty and the glory of Jesus in that story. And his instructions show that he's getting ready to enter the city of Jerusalem sitting on the back of a donkey. And Jesus has deliberately planned this really symbolic act. It's a gesture that fulfills a prophecy in the Old Testament from the book of Zechariah, which says, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It's perhaps interesting that Matthew's gospel mentions two animals. The other three gospel writers only refer to one. And maybe the reason for this is found in that scripture quote from Zechariah, which Matthew includes in his story. And Zechariah refers to a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And Jesus is literally saying to the daughter of Zion, the city of Jerusalem, "See, your salvation is coming, and it's coming riding on the back of a donkey." So these two disciples go off and they do exactly what Jesus has instructed, and they return with the donkey and the foal. There's no mention of them being questioned, as in Mark and Luke's gospel. And they put their cloaks on the back of the animals, making a crude kind of a saddle, and Jesus mounts. Presumably, he just gets on the back of one animal and not both, although both animals are mentioned in the text, because Matthew wants to show that this prophecy is being perfectly fulfilled. So unlike all the other pilgrims, Jesus doesn't enter the city on foot. He sits exactly as a king would do if he was being carried in his big golden chair into the city. And so there's a really large crowd of people present. There's all these hundreds and thousands of pilgrims, and they're all gathering there for the celebration. And as Jesus comes along, something happens in the outlook of this crowd. Maybe this is the one they've finally been looking for. Maybe as Jesus comes along, riding on the back of a donkey instead of walking, people's hopes are really starting to build. And so some start spreading their cloaks on the road. Other people are cutting down branches from the trees by the side of the road, and they're placing them on the road in front of Jesus as though they're spreading some kind of a carpet for him to walk on. And these are gestures of respect, and they're gestures of homage. These are gestures of paying obedience to a king. In this version of Jesus arriving in Jerusalem, there's no mention of palms, which didn't actually grow in the area of Jerusalem. But a procession starts to form. That little act we did at the beginning of the service is just an imitation of that, the procession into Jerusalem. And the pilgrims start to chant the word, Hosanna, which means save us, we beg you. By the time of Jesus, it's probably lost its original meaning from a cry of save us, but instead the word Hosanna is probably being now translated into a cry of praise and welcome. People are starting to recognize the claims of Jesus as the Messiah. Here he comes, riding on the back of a donkey, and people are calling him the Son of David, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's literally taken from the book of Psalms. The original translation is, blessed in the name of the Lord is he who comes. It's a way of upholding the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for. So Jesus comes to his own city, the city of Jerusalem, and he comes in the name of God. So he enters Jerusalem in triumph. Here is the prophetic king, and the whole city is said to be in uproar. And the whole of Jerusalem later goes on to share the fright of King Herod. And he was worried at the arrival of the Magi searching for the newborn king of the Jews. And there's simply, this time, a question from the people in the city. The cries of Hosanna suddenly move to them saying, well, who is this? And the crowd with Jesus reply, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It's a little bit of an understatement. This is actually the king who's arrived. This is the fulfillment of those prophecies coming into Jerusalem, sitting on the back of a donkey. And it's quite possible that at the same time that Jesus was entering the city on the back of a donkey, coming in from the east, accompanied by all the pilgrims, at the same time, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, might also have been entering the city for the festival as well. But he wasn't accompanied by pilgrims. He had with him his cavalry and his soldiers. At the time of major Jewish festivals like the Passover, Pilate would have taken up some kind of residence in Herod's palace while his troops reinforced the garrison stationed in the city, just in case there was trouble from these rebellious Jews. So you've got a contrast of two really important figures arriving. Pontius Pilate with the cavalry and the army, and Jesus with the crowd of pilgrims bidding him welcome. So for ourselves, centuries later, right at the beginning of Holy Week, as we think about this same happening, we're invited to welcome Jesus into the Jerusalem, or the city of our hearts. We're invited to welcome Jesus into our lives as a king, because Jesus is the king who gives our lives meaning and purpose and hope. We are aware of what lies ahead for Jesus. We know how the story eventually unfolds. And we know that the purpose of Jesus coming into Jerusalem is for his passion and his death. He arrives into Jerusalem in order to complete this act of self-giving love that he gave for each of us. So this arrival into Jerusalem of Jesus is the turning point in history. So we're invited to be here too, with enthusiasm and with commitment. We pray that we will try to live each day in the presence of Jesus. And we pray that we'll understand better his love for us, and we will respond in return with our love for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.